the trials, all the tribulations, all the pain that we suffer, both mental pain, physical pain, and all the financial woes that we have, the sickness and illnesses of our mind and our body, the repression that we have from those who are in power, who use their power to basically control, hurt, and destroy the masses, right? None of that stuff is going to exist in heaven. We'll be away from all that evil and wickedness. But again, the journey is not easy to get there, right? There's a straight and narrow path, and that path is not easy. And those of us who choose that path, you guys are the strongest people that I know. And I say that every Sunday because I mean it. Christians are the strongest people I know. It is easy to be a sinner. So easy to give in to sin and temptation. The hardest thing is to want, to physically want to sin, but choose not to sin, to fight against it because of the Word of God. That is a strong path. That's climbing up the ladder. Sinning is just going downhill. It's easy to sin. So you guys are the strongest I know. We've been looking at the book of James. In the book of James, we have learned a lot about the nature of God. We have learned that God is a loving God. God loved the Son. Son loved the Father. But he calls us, he commands us to show our love for him and the love that we have for one another, right? And then in this struggle that we go through every day, we understand that we have to have faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Evidence of things not yet seen. You're on your knees praying, God, I'm on the streets. Man, I don't have a place. This is dangerous. Get me off the streets, God. Help me to get off the streets. Help me to be able to find some way to be able to make income, whether it's getting a Social Security check, disability check, getting a job, something, a career would be better. But we'll settle for a job if we don't have anything, right? But you pray, and it seems like it falls on deaf ears. You're still on the streets. Still don't have anything. All the stuff that you're asking for. We learn we got to go through trials and tribulations. The book of James tells us, right? We learn about those trials and tribulations we go through. Count it all joy. You go through various trials and tribulations. Knowing this, that going through the trials and tribulations is what gives you patience. And once you've received patience, then you receive perfection. So that's how God is perfecting us, putting us in the fire. The fire is all the stuff we go through. Every day, right? All the bad stuff, all the testing, all the temptations, just life in general. Wake up, and there it is, right? I'm telling you, some of us wake up to pain. You go to bed with pain, you wake up with pain and sorrow, right? It's just our life, our luck in life, right? Our lot is what they say. That's my lot in life. But as Christians, we look at it a different way. Because is this really your life? Is it? You know, it's not. It's not our life. Is this your world?
No.
It's a hard world, I'm going to tell you that. It ain't good. There's not a lot of good in it. There's the only good I see is the people in it, okay? Those who profess Christianity, those who live according to God's word. That's the light you see in the world, good people. Other than that, my goodness, it's corrupt. And so, but this is not our home. We're just coming through, walking through, right? We sing a song about it. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. And the trap with people is that they lay their treasures here on this earth. You know, the more money you make, the more time you got to spend trying to keep that money. Got to keep it safe. What do rich people do? Move to a better neighborhood, right? More expensive house, and they got to get a security system to protect that house that they're going to fill with all these expensive things that they'll never take with them. You die, and then it goes to somebody else, you know, family members and people who come over and just steal it. And here you are, you've given up your life, your soul, for something that you can't even take with you. That's not going to do you any good at all on the day of judgment. You know, God don't care nothing about wealth, how fine the dress that you have, right? Your fine, all of your apparel and all the things that you've done on this earth. Okay, I'm going to try to find James chapter 3 here. And my mind is so... We want to go ahead and... I think we were... There was a God. We want to do James chapter 2. I want to end that. So what we're going to do... Whosoever shall keep the whole law. We talked about the law. And this is James chapter 2. We're going to look at verse... Profit a man, though a man say he hath faith and hath not works. Let's start there. Now, I want a good reader because you're going to read 14 all the way to 26. I might stop you. When it becomes, I'm going to stop you somewhere. It's going to be somewhere I'm going to have to emphasize. But I got one reader that's going to read verses 14 all the way to 26. And I'll let you know we're going to wrap this one up and go to chapter 2. Give me your hand, brave soldier. Who's going to read all that? Okay, I got a great soldier. Yeah, got it back in. All right, brave soldier. Prepare to stop, though. Stuff I need to emphasize.
Sure. What doeth profit, my brother, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warm and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doeth profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead.
I want you to stop right there. We're going to look at 14 through 17 now. What doth it profit a man, brethren, though a man say he hath faith and hath not works? Can faith save him? Think about salvation. I believe in God. I believe in the Son. Jesus Christ came on earth, died for me, right? I believe all that stuff. And I sit here believing that to the day I die. But I never confess of my sins, repent of my sins. I never go to that watery grave of baptism. I've never resurrected to the newness of life. I never received the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. In other words, I never obey the gospel. Then what's my faith? What's it worth? It ain't worth anything. Because I can't be saved by my faith. Faith doesn't save us. Works don't save us either. People will say, oh, you Church of Christ people, y'all believe you're getting to heaven by works. Not even close. The works are what we do when we're saved. It's just what you do. It doesn't save you. It's all grace. It's all by Jesus Christ, right? So then we have to understand that we can believe all day long, but it's not going to profit us anything if we don't exercise that faith. You see, belief is an action verb, which means that if you truly believe, there are things that you're going to do, physically do. So we have to physically do those things. All right, so... I'm trying to think. Okay, then it gives the example. The guy comes to you hungry. You know, I'm hungry, man. You go, oh, you're so religious. God bless you, brother. Right, let's pray, brother. Oh, dear God, give this guy some food and give him something to drink and some clothing in Jesus' name. Amen. Go away and feel better, my brother. Right? You gonna feel good if you're starving? No, not at all. Okay, you'll feel good if I give you something to eat and something to drink and put some clothes on your back, right? It's not about having, oh, that talking, that's nothing. That's faith without action. Okay, telling somebody, oh, let me pray for you. Oh, dear, when I know that I have the ability and the resources to feed my brother, okay? To give him some shirts and help him out. That's what we do here. Main Street, it's all about doing, not just saying and praying, right? All right. Let's continue.
Amen. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my
verse. That's verse 18. I'm going to show you my faith. How? By my works. You're going to see me. You're going to see what I do. That's when you know a person has true faith.
Thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well.
Say it again.
Thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well.
Did you hear that? You believe there's one God. You do well, the Bible says. That's fantastic. Did you hear that before God, that little word before God? One. Okay? Mono. Monotheism is one God. Do you know how many people on the earth believe in multiple gods? Okay? So it's hard to convince a lot of people on this earth that there's just one God. So if you're one of those people that believe that there's just one God, you do well. You do good. I'm going to applaud you. But let's continue to read.
The devils also believe and tremble.
Uh-oh. You know, you have religions on this earth that tell you in order to be saved, the only thing you have to do is believe. That's it. They tell you, if you believe, you're saved. Have y'all heard that? How many have heard that? Let me see your hand. Of these denominations that try to tell you. Now, that is a dangerous thing. Now that, whoever told you that, I want you to remember that was a man telling you that. But what is the Bible telling us? Go ahead and read 19 again.
It says, thou believest that there is one, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble.
The devils believe. The devils believe in Jesus Christ. When they saw him, they knew who he was and started trembling. You're not here. Wait a minute. What are you doing here already? It's not our time. Not time for us to get cast in hell for eternity. What you doing here? They was afraid of him. Devils believe in God. Devils know that he exists. The devils believe in the Son. But are you going to see devils in heaven just because they believe? Guess what? We're not going to be in heaven just because we believe. Right. Believe is not what gets you to heaven.
Okay. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead?
Your faith without works is dead. It's death. You can believe all day long, but if you don't exercise that belief, if you don't do something, it's dead. Faith without works is dead.
Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled which said, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God.
I want you to stop right there. In the Bible, when it talks about the sons of God, those who are friends of God, why? Because they had faith and they exercised that faith. When God told Abraham, get up out of your land, leave your family, and go to a strange land, he could have said, okay, God, I've got faith that you've got good things in store for me, and stay right there where he was. Would he have exercised faith? Okay, what about when he calls him to try to sacrifice his only son? He had waited a long time, right, to get his son. And all of a sudden, you want me to take him and put him on this altar and sacrifice him? Yeah, God, yes, I know that you're a good God, and I will sacrifice my son. I'll do it for you. But he never puts his son on that table and never sacrificed him. Is that really showing faith? No, not at all. So in every case, Abraham, everybody has to do something. Verse 24.
Amen. You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only.
Not by faith.
Likewise also was Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also.
So I think we could summarize this. Thank you, brother. Appreciate it. I think we could summarize this by saying faith is doing something. It is an action verb. So it's not just about believing. That's great. If you believe there's one God, there are many people, millions of people, billions of people on the earth. There's 7 billion, over 7 billion on the earth. And let me tell you, a small minority of us believe that there's only one God. So you do a great thing by believing. But you have to exercise your belief in action. You exercise your faith in action. You have to do something.
There's a proverb in the book of Isaiah that reads, which is a scripture. It says, as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven returns not there, it says, but gives seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall prosper unto where I have sent it.
Amen. It shall prosper. So just like us, if we live by faith, right, then basically we should prosper. Everywhere we go, we should be planting seeds, right? People should see. Okay. I was going to see if y'all may have to call a crane to get me up there if I had fell down. So now let's go to any questions in chapter 2 before we go to chapter 3. Nope. Okay, I need a yes. I'm going to come over here to you.
Yeah. You just made a statement that they didn't put Isaac on the altar, that Abraham hesitated. But now it says that the Lord stopped him from putting his son on there. But okay, well, that's isn't he showing his faith by doing what the Lord told him to do? But the Lord saw that he had his faith, and so he stopped him. Okay, well, see, you said a few minutes ago that he didn't do that.
Yeah, you misunderstood. I said the question was if he had not done that. If he had not done that.
All right.
So, if anybody else was confused by that, thank you, brother. I appreciate that, because maybe somebody else heard me wrong also. I didn't say that he did not exercise his faith. He did. He got his son and put him on that altar. And he was about to stab him and kill him. Why? Because he knew that God would bring him back. He had that much faith. He knew God, if I kill him, God can bring him back to life. The angel had to come and stop his hand, right? It's like, whoa, hold it. Okay, you showed your faith, Abraham. So let it be no mistake that I know that Abraham did show his faith. I said the example was if he did not do that, then he would not have exercised his faith.
No, that's why Abraham's righteousness is so pure in front of God, because he was willing to do the exact same thing that God did with his son. He trusted his heavenly Father.
Yes. And that's what happened with Jesus Christ, right? Same thing, only begotten son. And he offered him up. Abraham did the same thing. Abraham did the same thing, right? Okay, I need a reader. Verses, lost my place again. James, we're in James chapter 3 now. And we're going to read verses, we don't want to get into that tongue. Let's just do 1 through 4. Who wants to read that? All right, go to the back here.
Not many you should present the teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. When we put bits into our mouths with horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take shits as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong wind, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go.
Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by.
Thank you. I appreciate it, sister. Okay, so let's look at the first part of my brethren. Be not many masters, teacher. When you see that in Kung Fu movies, they master, hey? They're saying teacher. And then a person who is a teacher, let's say Brother Kelly, myself, William, so many of us that take that position as being teachers, what does it say? My brethren, that means all of you Christians, be not many masters, teachers. Why? Knowing that we, teachers, shall receive the greater condemnation. Okay, it's going to be worse on Brother Eric, right, when he's judged, than it will be someone who did not take that leadership of being a teacher. So that's why we have to be very careful. And in the body of Christ, we always say we teach what the Bible teaches.
Right.
We speak what the Bible, where the Bible speaks.
Right.
And we're silent where the Bible is silent. That way we do not add or subtract from the Word of God. And it's very important that we get everything right, because we're going to be judged on this. And that frightens me, trust me.
Bible don't say it, don't you say it.
Exactly.
And because a lot of people will say, well, I think what God is saying, no, you don't say that. If you don't know what God is saying, it's best to just shut up.
Book, chapter, and verse, because how many of us have opinions? We all got opinions, okay? And so we understand that it's not about our opinions, it's about the Word of God. It's all about what He says, right? So we have to be very careful.
Another thing is that, I read the King James, and there have been times I have heard when someone read out of these new things. Sometimes you have to watch these Bibles read too, because you'll read the King James, and then you'll hear somebody read it out of something else. You say, that ain't got nothing to do with what God is saying. You know what I'm saying?
When it comes to translation, King James Version, in order for them to charge for it, they have to change it. So it's something that's necessary when it comes to publication. It cannot be verbatim. They can't sit there and copy the King James Version verbatim and make a profit on it. So when you see all these new translations, unfortunately for the person that publishes that translation, they have to change things,
right,
in order to be able to charge you the money to buy the book. So you do have to be very careful. That is true.
Also in Proverbs, the Bible speaks, it says, life and death is in the power of the tongue. You know, oftentimes, you know, when we're just holding general conversations, especially when we're talking about worldly things, we find ourselves speaking death into people's lives. But we're understanding that when we are giving people the good news, and we're spreading the gospel as God or Jesus has commissioned us, we're speaking life into their lives. So we have to understand and discern oftentimes, and we have to be very aware of all times the things that we're speaking into people's lives.
All right. Like so many times, you've created something extremely important. Extremely important. So now I know I'm going to have to stop here, and I'm going to have to go into detail about that. That is so true. We have to be very careful what we speak. Now this whole chapter here, we're going to deal in chapter 3, is going to be that tongue, that unruly little thing of ours, the smallest member of the body. You look at this big fat thigh of mine, this big old leg, and compare it to the tongue. The tongue's smaller than this big old leg and this big old thigh, but this tongue can create disaster. This tongue can create death, okay, and destruction. It is a deadly, deadly member of my body. That tongue can lead souls to hell. Because if I was greedy and I wanted money, I could lie to you, fill this pulpit up with lies, I can get up there and entertain you and have people want more and just count the money. Okay? Because it's all about that. That tongue is a very dangerous thing. And I can curse somebody with that tongue. And then turn around and praise God with that very same tongue. Okay? Go ahead, and then I'm going to go into your point, and we're going to emphasize that as far as speaking.
That's why teachers of the law have to be very careful of what they put in the minds of God's children with the words that they say. Because woe to those who lead my children astray.
Amen. Amen. So we have to be very careful. That's that teacher being under more condemnation. If you take the role as a master, a teacher, says, whoa, be careful, my brothers and sisters. Okay, careful.
But you can bless a person and you can curse them at the same time. You can tell them, man, you are so blessed. And you can say, but I think you're going to die at 16.
Exactly. That tongue, God says that. How can you praise me with that tongue of yours, right, and then curse,
right,
with that same tongue? Now let's get back to the point of be careful what we say. There is an experiment that they did with water. They got a jar of water in a dirty lake. They dipped one bottle, shut it up, dipped another one, glass jar, put the lid on it, and on one of the jars they wrote dirty, nasty, filthy. You know, the other one, clear, clean on that. So whenever the experiment was, you speak good things to this one over here, bad things to this one. And do you know that they could put it under a microscope and it was a change in the water? The water where they said was clear, good water, clear water, the crystals, you could see the fine, beautiful crystals. And the other one, you can see it was dirty, contaminated. Came from the same source. That mouth is extremely important. It is, guess what? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. How did he do it? Spoke it into existence. Okay? And so we're made in the image of God. So we have to be very careful what we speak into the universe of the Most High. Because what we speak is a very powerful thing and does affect people. It can affect people in a positive way or negative way. Same thing in your body. Body, heal yourself. I'm feeling good today. I'm not in any pain today. This is going to be a great day. Oh, geez, man. I'm in pain. God, I feel sick. Oh, Lord, it's going to be a horrible day today. I can tell already. I woke up feeling bad. What did I just do? I cursed myself. I just spoke. So basically everything, and I have a horrible day, and I go, good Lord, why did... Okay, is it really... Was it the good Lord that had me to say those things? Why couldn't I have said, thank you, Father, for allowing me to wake up to see another day? So many people didn't have that choice. Thank you, Father, for all... Just think about all the positive things and dwell on those things and speak that into God's universe, right?
I was fixing to say the same thing before you said, be careful what you speak into existence, because when people speak things into existence, people tend to believe it. If somebody tells you, hey, you're sick, you're like this, or you're no good, after hearing it so many times, people start believing those things.
Right.
You know, that's why you got to be very, very careful.
And you see this in the hospital, I'm going to get him now, come back. You see this in the hospital so many times. The doctors say, this person has terminal cancer. There's nothing we can do for that person. I'm going to give them maybe 6 months to live. You got to get your affairs in order. But then people pray. That person knows the power of prayer. They are faithful people. They have people surrounding them. The fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much, right? The Bible tells us. There's power in prayer. And there's many examples about that.
Amen. The Bible also says that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. In other words, those things that are stored in our heart are mainly the things we're going to talk about the most. You know, those are the things we know. And if we are still connected to the world, if we're still conformed to the world, we're going to talk about the world. But when we are conformed into the image of Christ and when we are living that spiritual life, that thing is going to become the love of our lives.
Garbage in, garbage out, right? If I listen to filthy, nasty lyrics in my music, guess what? I'm going to start singing filthy, nasty music. And my lyrics, my mouth is going to, my vocabulary is going to be filthy and nasty, right? Been there, done that, right? Okay. My music was not clean. I justified it. I'm going, I just like to call it the social, political, you know, message, man. I don't even listen to it because of the curse words. I just listen to it. I like the beat of it, right? I like the message, man, other than the curse words. I like that. I justified it. And my mind was filthy, and then my mouth became filthy. And I had trouble controlling that mouth because I was letting that garbage in, so when the garbage came out.
And another thing the Bible tells us, that Satan can't read your mind, but he can hear everything that is being said.
Hey, that's another reason I want to watch my tongue, man. It's not about him reading my mind, but he can hear what I say, right? And he can see what, exactly. And he can see how I live my life, and he knows what my temptations are, right? So, and that's what he's going to use to get me. That's what he uses to get all of us. Okay, let's continue on this journey here with the tongue. And this is James chapter 3. We're looking at verse 2. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able to also bridle the whole body. Let me tell you, if you're, oh wow, really? This is going to be, I'm going to be looking forward to, if the Lord says, saying we have next week to finish in this chapter 3, but we don't have time to do it today. But with the tongue, bridling that tongue, in many things we offend. We do bad things with our body, but if you can tame the tongue, you can tame the whole body. You're a bad boy then, okay? Because that is the most untamable, unruly member of our body, is the tongue. So if you have something you need to tame on your body, whatever that body part is, start with the tongue. Because the Bible says if you can tame the tongue, you can tame all the other members of your body.
I done mastered it with my drug addiction. I done mastered it with the prostitute. But I have not mastered that thing.
Amen, amen, amen.
Man, I ask God to forgive me all the time.
If you drive a car in traffic, okay, and road rage hits you, that mouth, it says things that you have to pray, you have to ask God for forgiveness. Okay? It's that quick.
I just want everybody to know that God wants us to know that we have to discipline the tongue more than anything in our life.
Amen, amen. And it says it right there. If he says, if you're able to bridle that tongue, you can control all the whole rest of your body. So think about if you got a member of your body that's out of control, okay? Whatever that part of the body is, start with the tongue, and then you'll be able to bridle the other part.
How you doing?
How you doing?
I'm okay. How are y'all?
Doing fine.
All right. Just speaking.
Yeah.
Words of wisdom. Thank you for your words of wisdom today.
Okay.
I really appreciate it.
Appreciate that.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Thank you for being here. At this time, we are running out of time. So, are there any questions that anybody has prior to us ending this class? We'll address that, and then we'll conclude.
I just want to end on this note. If you, take it home and study it. But the 8th verse is, but the tongue can no man tame. Mm-hmm. Amen?
We'll be getting to that one. If good Lord says the same next week, cannot tame that tongue. That tongue is a dangerous thing. Think about war. You know, Twitter. What did I say on Twitter? And all of a sudden, we can go to war?
Yep.
Okay? The tongue. What did I say about the market? If I say something negative, certain people and certain power, Bloomberg, and then the financial market goes down, right? One person has the ability to say something with their tongue and can change the whole world. The whole world.
That's what's scary about this president that we have. Because he's quick to open his mouth up.
And that's, we have to be slow to speak, right? More easy, quick to listen. And that's a lesson that all of us can learn. Not just the president, but all of us, right?
You didn't have to come back, but the Bible says no man can tame the tongue, but the gift of the Holy Spirit was one of them. And that is really a testimony to the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit can't tame the tongue.
And when you have that thorn in the side, you ask God, please remove it. And God says, nope, my grace is sufficient enough. So there are things that if we could tame it, we'd be perfect, right? So if we could do that, we wouldn't need Jesus Christ, right? We have perfection in ourselves, but we understand we're flesh. And the flesh, we're always going to be battling good versus evil. It's just part of our nature, right? But we're justified by Christ Jesus. We're counted righteous because of him. And so we understand that the taming that tongue is extremely important. So at this time, we don't have any more time. So we're going to go ahead and conclude. I just want to pray that God will add a blessing to the reading, the hearing of the word today.